213 and 214, Senate Committee on Revenue and School Finance, revised agenda, July 29th, 1981, Hearing Room A, 1 o'clock p.m., Public Hearing Work Session, House Bill 2189, Property Tax Administration, House Bill 3088, ESD Levies, Work Session, House Bill 2818, Mass Transit District, A and B Ballot.
Committee will come to order. First order of business will be to turn to House Bill 3088 for the testimony of Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Representative Max Simpson, District 59 from Baker. I guess these are concerns that I have here that have been expressed by citizens of Baker County. And I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'd have to say that the measure comes with such immediacy and with such great confusion, and perhaps I'm the only one that's confused, and if that's the case, I would apologize for my ignorance of this. There are a lot of people, I understand, that are in support of this measure, but the measure raises, I think, Mr. Chairman, far-reaching and largely unanswered questions, at least in my estimation, and I would hope that this committee would address the following serious questions, and which the first one would be the constitutionality to go back 4 years, reach back 4 years for a tax base, and does this supersede other legislation and put the paper transactions back in, I guess, it's my understanding anyway, Mr. Chairman, and members, that the Attorney General and others have helped draft either some amendments or the original bill or something. I don't know how they've been involved in it, but I think there are some questions there. And there is confusion as to whether the measure includes equalization or just the administrative base. And the instance in Baker County, the total equalization levy is $1,440,000. Plus 6%, and the administrative base would be about $350,000. The Baker ESD has on record with the county assessor 81, 82, and A and B ballot budgets. The A budget is $157,850, and the B budget is for $1,440,000, as I just mentioned, and they have an attached footnote to this budget, saying with an attached footnote dependent on the action of the 81 legislature. In other words, the assessor is having great difficulty with this. Now, he may be right in my class. He may be confused, and he may be the only assessor that confused. But he's been there a long, long time and does a terrific job. The county assessor also has forwarded a question to the Department of Revenue of what to do with this particular ballot that's on file in his office. The bill would be effective in 90 days, and this places the assessing process in jeopardy because they have an assessment time frame to meet. Now, the language in the bill, I understand, applies to fiscal year beginning 82, and then that would relieve the assessment question somewhat, I understand, but apparently the Baker ESD has planned full equalization levy for 81-82 on preparing its budget. The last concern is over the confusion rising out of the unused portion of the tax base preserved by a paper transaction and their offset, and then the offset by basic school support. My understanding is that the redistribution of this would be made by the Department of Education. How can a local levy be adjudicated at a state level, and what further assessment problems do we get into? Despite all of the unanswered questions that at least that I have, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Vice Chairman, the bottom line is that this bill broadens the levying authority without a vote of the people. And I testified to this on the floor of the House when the bill passed, and I would ask the members of this committee to further ask the questions that I have from staff people. And Richard Munn has helped me considerably over the last few days. And I guess that I would say in closing that my final word on the floor of the House was that this is, in fact, the legislature is levying taxes at a local levy, at a local levy from the halls, from the chambers here. And to me, that is the bottom line. Now, I don't care how you amend it or how you do anything else. Whenever you make this action, that's in fact what you're doing. And I would certainly hope that members of this committee would ask that question over and over again and ask it to members of the staff if that in fact is not true. Richard, I don't know where Richard is. In fact, I asked him this morning if he'd come up to the witness table with me and help me, because I told you I was confused. I am confused, and I admit it. But there are others, I think, are in the same situation. And Mr. Vice Chairman, Senator Day, I would conclude with that, and simply say I hope you give this due consideration. There is a sense of urgency, and it fills these halls and these hearing rooms. And it's too bad that it works that way. But at any rate, that's my
well, thank you, Representative Reichen. Are there questions from the committee? I want to
Representative
say
Simpson.
Simpson.
Oh, Simpson, I mean.
That's all right. You've done that before, Senator.
I know. I'm in charge of vice, and I've known you a long time. And I want to say that you inspire me, because I thought there's been confusion for some time. Are there questions from the committee? None? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Max. Very much. Thank you.
Okay, let's back to 2189. Bill Bain.
Back to 2289.
Bill, before you start in 2189, can you address the assessment issue in that last bill? Are you familiar with that?
Senator, I am not familiar with it, and I'd like to talk to Representative Simpson just as soon as I can and see if I can find out what the county assessor's difficulty with it is. Okay. I am not aware of what his problem is on that, and I will seek to find that out.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Bill Bain with the Oregon Assessors Association. I would simply like very briefly to say the Oregon Assessors have worked very closely with the Department of Revenue and with others to provide what I think is an excellent administrative bill. In 2189, it has some substantive changes. I'm certain that staff will be able to outline it for you. We have basically supported most of the changes in the bill are due to the property tax relief plan and the fact that the original governor's plan last session in 79 had many of these changes in it, and somehow or another that didn't get picked up. In addition to that, we've provided for a return to the single value notice and the single board of equalization in this bill, rather than the split value notice and split board of equalization, which the 1979 tax relief program created, and we have now discovered creates tremendous administrative burden, and we don't believe adds anything to the taxpayers' information or understanding of Oregon taxation laws. And then finally, we have proposed in this bill some positive language with respect to taxpayer appeal, administrative review with the assessor prior to a Board of Equalization filing, and a little more flexible Board of Equalization filing dates. These are not considered to create any undue hardship to any of the counties, and I believe will work to the advantage of the taxpayers in providing for a little more flexible process of appeal. Be happy to answer any questions the committee might have regarding the bill.
Hey, Bill, as I understand it, probably the biggest issue in the bill is the thing you talked about just prior to your last point, and that is you're moving the notice of assessment from the fall to the spring.
That's correct, on the homestead property.
Okay. Only?
Because all the other property stayed in the spring, and we wound up with two boards of equalization, and then
is that the biggest problem? Two boards of equalization?
No, that's not the biggest problem. That's probably of some significance. There is some additional cost experienced by the counties involved in running a second board of equalization. Of course, not under the authority of the assessor's offices, but a cost to the counties. know the biggest problem, Senator, is the difficulty of adjusting the value after the roll has been turned to the tax collector. If you understand the assessment process, the assessor values everything as of January 1st. He sets his roll on May the 1st, subject to changes by the Board of Equalization, turns the roll as a corrected roll over to the tax collector in October, who then collects the taxes, sends the tax bill, and so forth. The requirements of the 1979 Act required that we send a value notice on homestead properties in the fall time frame. We wound up with split value notices because we had split properties. We had people who owned a half a duplex, or they owned a piece of property that was part homestead and part other, and they got part of their value in the spring and part of it in the fall. Obviously, that led to some confusion. They could only appeal the homestead portion of it in the middle of the winter, and as a consequence of the timing, the February time frame was selected for the second Board of Equalization. That meant that the taxpayer had already paid the tax or something of that nature, and consequently a change to the value involved not only a change to the assessment roll, but a change to the tax roll and subsequent refunds of taxes and a variety of other administrative headaches. And in addition to that, there was no provision for payment of interest on the refund, even though all the other programs have included that. So we had insult heaped upon injury as far as the taxpayer was concerned. He didn't get the benefit of any of those kinds of things.
The reason I think we did that is that in the spring we send out to homeowners a reappraisal. And it would not be so much true, I would expect, this year. But in previous years, they would go bananas because the value of their house went up 32%. And they then equated that to increased taxation, and that happened about the time maybe budgets were being voted on and that sort of thing. They said, so you really got two shots, and I believe that's why we did it, because we were getting, and I can remember well when those would go out.
That also has a relationship to the average tenure of county assessors, which is now down to about 4.6 years, I think. Because the value notices went out just before the May primary, and the tax bills went out just before the November election.
Can you address that? What we've tried to do, both with HARP and everything, by moving it to the fall, is, okay, here's some property tax relief money. Here's your money. Your bill's coming soon. Hold on to it. Pay your property taxes. We tried to say, okay, we'll tell you, we will give you an honest appraisal of where your tax bill is going vis-a-vis all of the elements that go into and gyrations that go into determining your property tax bill, the value, the tax rate. You can see how many dollars you paid last year. Check your old stub against this year's stub. But don't get excited too early until you see the final line. Is it worth it for us to go back and to avoid those administrative problems? To go back to a system where the people get upset in the spring, where they see that value notice going up, and it has no relationship necessarily to the taxes that they're to an increased tax.
Well, Senator, if I could respond to that, kind of obliquely, you've also required in the law, and we don't propose to change, that we show 2 years' values and 2 years' taxes on the tax bill itself. Mm-hmm. That's also part of the 79 Act. That will not be changed. That will continue to be in place. We think, yes, to answer your question more directly, that it is worth it to avoid the administrative problems and the heartache, the problems that we encountered, hard as we might try, to make sure that those values were done right and that kind of thing. We think that the proposal we've made in this bill makes good sense, given that we're continuing to provide that other information.
But wouldn't that other information actually compound the problem I'm talking about? They see last year's value, last year's tax, and you're not going to give them how much taxes they have to pay this year. You're going to give them this year's value.
Well, they don't see the tax on the value notice, Senator. They only see the comparison of the value, last year's value to this year's value.
Just further excite them
on the value notice.
Again, maybe not this year, because I would expect values to go up modestly in relative terms.
Well, again, I think that we see and talk to a vast number of property taxpayers in the state of Oregon, and I would have to say that there are those taxpayers who do not understand the Oregon property tax law. I think we made a valiant and valid effort in the 1979 Act to help those people understand, but I suspect very strongly that there's a substantial number of those people don't want to understand it, and they never will. I think the vast majority, we're understating the ability of the vast majority of our taxpayers to understand it. I think the vast majority of them do understand it. We do hear from some who do not understand that relationship between value and taxation. But I do believe that all of the taxpayers will be better served by these amendments and by this bill.
Senator Day.
I wonder if we wanted to move the whole process so that everything would come due in the fall.
You mean value notices and taxes and the whole thing? Well, you're going to compound that other issue.
If we extend the process, we can change. You deal in a calendar year to start with, don't you?
Well, there's a mix between assessment year and fiscal year and those kinds of things, yes.
You do that, but you could retard that so you eventually came out in the fall, couldn't you, on both?
In practical terms, I don't think you could have the value apply to that current tax year in the practical sense.
Okay, it could be for the following year, too.
Of course it could, but then you'd lose the relationship by a factor of a year instead of a factor of 6 months.
So you're thinking how you collect. I'm thinking I'm not as worried about how you collect it as I am.
I'm thinking about the relationship, Senator, and I think that's what you're driving at, the relationship between value change and tax change. Now is spaced apart maybe a little bit, but I think you've basically taken the edge off of it by requiring us to send a tax statement, a uniform tax bill out to every property owner in the state that shows them the values comparison year to year and the taxes comparison year to year. I think you've taken most of the edge that was there before away. Many of the counties prior to the 79 Act, many of the counties sent us a tax statement out that didn't include anything from any prior year. Now it's required, and we're not proposing to change that at all. So I think you've really taken most of the burden or the problem, misunderstanding, whatever you want to call it, however you want to characterize that. I think you've taken most of that away. And we simply see this as a way to avoid some other problems that this has created for the taxpayers, and ultimately to the cost of the taxpayers through the increased cost of administration.
Okay, is there further discussion? Senator Hanlon.
I think maybe you and I are the only members of this committee who were here when we made this change. You recall those circumstances, those were property tax revolt days. We were going along very quietly talking about property taxes. And then some county assessors thoughtlessly sent out their increased notice of values right in the middle of our deliberations, and all rational thought ceased. So we reacted by splitting it up, and that apparently hasn't worked either.
Well, I'm still concerned. I think we've done everything we can to promote. In all deference to Mr. Bain, we have members of this body who have served on the Revenue Committee who do not understand the relationship between assessed value, tax rate, and final bill.
I understand.
And I'm assuming that they're of average intelligence. It means that you do not deal.
Yeah.
It means you deal with it once a year. If you live to be 70, and you bought your home when you were 25 or 30, maybe 40 times in your lifetime, you've dealt with it. We deal with it all the time, and some of us still have a hard time understanding that. And we've tried to, in every way, including the hard thing, that this is property tax relief, we've moved this forward to try to say, look at the revolt basically was coming from the homeowner. We're saying, look, here's your value, here's your new bill, compare value and final figure. And I think, as much as anything, the value of property caused this escalation in the revolt. Now, that's going to happen again someday. It's going to happen again in, well, it better happen again pretty soon. And it's going to happen, and those values are going to go up more than 5 or 6%. And I think we'll be right back here saying, why did we do that? Well, the answer is it's administratively better. And I appreciate those problems of making those adjustments real quick, trying to get that added to the roll. At the same time, if that change helped the taxpayer get a better view of where we're going with property taxes and what property tax relief meant to the final bill, all of that meant in final terms, then I think we would err to change that for administrative purposes, even though I know it is difficult.
Senator, if I could, I'd like to just show you one other thing that does create a problem and misunderstanding. You've got a time chart like this, and you're talking about a January 1st assessment date, 1/1/81. That affects the tax year that starts on July 1st and runs to June 30th. That's where your tax bill will come in here. The property owner, the homeowner, will get his value notice at this time, and he'll be appealing in here after January the 1st on a value based back here, and he doesn't understand why he isn't talking about a value based here. So we created misunderstanding even in an attempt to create understanding.
But you're always going to have that lag problem.
Well, that's true. But in the normal Board of Equalization time frame, you're talking about this time frame here, starting about the first week of May and running usually right around the 1st of July or sometimes a little past. And this is relatively recent, and we're talking about a sales year that ended August 31st of 1980 and started on September 1st, 1979 to base this value on. It's not like I was a fee appraiser and was dealing with you on a one-to-one basis and appraising it as of today. We're dealing in a window, a very narrow valuation window of January 1st for equity of all taxation.
But I think that's easier. That's an easier problem to explain when you're talking value than it is to explain to them why that this may not have an effect on their total tax bill. I think that because you can't really tell them it's not going to have an effect, because it depends on what happened to other neighborhoods.
Well, it depends on how many of those levies they approve and those other things.
It can also have something to do with what happened to their neighborhood vis-a-vis other neighborhoods in the tax code area.
Absolutely.
So, it can have something to do with it, but it doesn't necessarily. And that's what we're trying to get at, I think, is a real comparison of the system. Here it is. Here's the new value on your house. Here's what it will do to your final tax bill. That's in the long term, I worry about that fostering a problem with property taxes again. Secondly, I wonder what it will look like if we did that once to get through a revolt. And now we tell them, back to the old system. Here it is. We'll tell you what it's going to be several months later.
There's one other problem that I didn't mention that perhaps I should say, and that is that a very large number of, I won't say an absolute majority because I'm not certain of that, but a very large number of homeowners have a mortgage on their property, and the mortgagee, the bank, pays the property tax. They may get the value notice in the fall, but they're still not going to get that tax bill until January or February when the bank gets around to validating it and sending it out. Mm-hmm. Now, we can solve some of those kinds of problems, and we try to, but we're not saving any money by sending the tax bill and the value notice together.
Sure.
in most situations.
They can figure it out in the fall because they pretty well know what the tax rate is for their area.
Yeah.
So if they know their value, they can figure out what their total tax bill is going to be,
right. I think I certainly understand, we understand your concern, Senator, and I know that you'll do what
what's best, but we really strongly believe that, that this will satisfy the your concerns about that kind of information and that kind of understanding. At the same time, we'll solve some other problems that we have encountered that have put some taxpayers at a real disadvantage of not being able to correct a value until coming around to February and making estimates of taxes and all of these kinds of things. So appreciate your consideration.
Thank you very much. Are there other questions? Senator Hammond.
Mr. Chairman, there is a way to react, and that's what it would be, a reaction, to the taxpayer who believes that the taxes are going up because his assessments are going up. And that would be for a two-year period, cut all appraised values in half, and then after he finished curing and discovers that nothing has happened to his tax bill, maybe he would begin to think a little bit.
Yeah, sure would. Sure think quite a bit about when the next election is. Thank you, Mr. Bain.
Sounds like the 2x4 and the mule.
Yeah. Okay.
2x4.
Okay, do you want to go over the other provisions of the bill? No one else signed up to testify on the bills.
Okay, House Bill, if you look in your, if you notice the bill is rather long.
Yeah, I know.
If you look in your book, there is a two-page or one-page on both sides sheet that relates the concepts in the bill to the section numbers that deal with those concepts. The primary thing that the bill does is it goes through the statutes and it looks at all the places where it says assessed value and true cash value or value, just plain value, and makes sure that those are the proper terms to be used. If you remember last session, we passed a 5% assessment limit, and that meant that you have a difference between assessed value and true cash value. And we didn't have that kind of difference before. And over the years, we've gotten lazy in our drafting, and we've used the terms true cash value and assessed value interchangeably because they meant the same thing. Well, they no longer mean the same thing. So most of the sections, and in fact, if you look there, that whole first page is that 1 through 8 listing there is going through and making it clear whether assessed value or true cash value should be used to do whatever that section does. So on the first thing there, the number 1 listing, it makes clear, most of those sections make it clear that when you tax property, you value it at true cash value. In other words, you determine the true cash value, then you assess it at a percentage of true cash, which is the assessed value. The other 7 sections, or DOL number 2, there are certain penalties in the law for not filing a return, like a personal property return, and this sets the penalty as a percentage of the assessed value of the property. The third section requires the assessor to, or the third general listing there, requires the assessor to carry both the true cash value and the assessed value on the roll. The fourth deals with the determination of a principal county for a district. A district which, if you're a district that crosses county lines, you have a principal county, and that principal county is the county where you have the most value. And this sets it so that the county where you have the most assessed value is the county that's going to be your principal county. In 5 there, it makes it clear that the bonding limits for districts and the investment limits for investing in the bonds of the district are determined by the true cash value of that district, not the assessed value. In other words, it does not, what we're saying there is that the 5% assessment limit will not affect your bonding limit. You're still going to go as a percentage of true cash. On the basic school support calculation, there are, in the way that it sets out some of those calculations in the law right now, is just plain inconsistent. It defines assessed value, or I think it defines assessed value to be something that it's not, or vice versa. The definition that's in there is just plain wrong, and this makes it correct. On the urban renewal,
The Constitution requires that the true cash value of an urban renewal area be frozen. And this required a number of when you have an urban renewal area, you freeze the true cash value, and then all that additional growth and value goes to the district to pay off its bonds and things that it's issued. There were some statutory changes needed to ensure that it's the true cash value that's frozen, as the Constitution requires. And then there's some miscellaneous to deal with county purchases and fixed rate cereal levies to make it clear what they are percentage of, or the rate. The rate on a fixed rate cereal levy is the rate to assess value. Then over on the next page, it gets into the other concepts in the bill. Sections 3, 8, 45, and 110 talk about what we've just talked about, sending those value notices in the spring as opposed to the fall. Sections 16, 17, and 40A increase the appeal time increase the time for making appeals of your value. Increases it by 2 weeks, generally. And allows the assessor to initiate a value reduction with the Board of Equalization of someone's property. The next list there, 5, 6, 11, etc., ends the power of the department to